bathroom.
What's the address here is what?
407 11th.
407
11th. Avenue.
Okay, today I'm at the home of Lena Phipps and Lila Mae King at 407 11th Avenue, Fairbanks, Alaska. And this is what, the 11th of...
This is the 10th of,
10th of
July. July.
Yeah. Lena Phipps is the 1973
Queen
Regent for the Pioneers of Alaska. And will reign beginning this next week as the Queen Regent. So, I'm going to turn this mic just a little bit this way, Lena, just to make sure I get... Lena, when did you first come to Alaska?
In 1925.
And where did you go? To Fairbanks?
The Seward.
To Seward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on the boat.
I was living there at that time.
Lena, or Lila was living there at the time.
Yeah, I was living at Seward at that time. And her and her daughter come up to be with
okay.
us.
So your sister was Lila Mae King?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't King at the time, but
it was Lila Mae Mitchell.
Lila Mae Mitchell. And you were at Seward, and then you
in
came
Seward,
up
yeah.
and
yes.
joined her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And did you have, were you married at the time, Lena?
No, I was single, then my husband was
widow.
Dead.
You wasn't
you
single,
were a widow.
Yeah, a widow.
I see. And did you have children?
Yeah, I had one, Francis. Frances Williamson.
Frances
Williamson.
Williamson.
Yeah. At that time, she was Williamson.
And how old was Frances when you went to Seward in 1925?
She was 11 years old.
And did you live there with Lila?
I lived there with Lila.
And I'm sorry, Lila.
Yeah.
I didn't write down. What did you say your name was then, Lila Mae?
At that time, Lila Mae Mitchell.
And Lena was Lena Williamson.
Williamson.
Williamson. Okay, you got that
see, too. Our maiden name.
Name is Williams.
You see.
And
oh,
instead of having a son, I had a daughter
and married a son.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting.
It's hard to get it through their heads that her name was Williamson, not William. It was William's maiden name, but then...
Yeah, so her name then at that time was...
Yeah.
Was Lena Williams Williamson.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she only added O-N on it.
Well, that didn't change too much.
No, it was easy to remember.
And your daughter was 11 then when you arrived in Seward. How long did you live there in Seward?
I lived in Seward 2 years. Wasn't it two? Let's see,
yeah,
25, 26.
Two or two and a half, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, but I come to Fairbanks in 27.
And when you came in, well, you must have come by train then in 1927.
Yeah, come by train from Seward.
Because I know this next Sunday they're going to have the 50th anniversary of the
mm-hmm.
railroad
yeah.
driving of the spike.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 1923 that
yeah.
was finished.
Mm-hmm.
So was that a two-day trip from Seward?
Yes,
Fairbanks?
You come and stayed at...
Curry
and stayed there overnight and then come in here the next day.
McKinley
it was 2 day
Park,
trip.
Stayed there. We lunched. You know, we came for and we lunched at Curry and then we come on up and stayed at McKinley Park. And then we had lunch the following day on the train at Healy.
Well, you, when Lena
yeah.
Came to Fairbanks, you came to Fairbanks
oh,
at
yes,
the same
I,
time.
Oh, yes. I came. I come too because we moved on up here from there.
Now, Lila, when you lived in Seward, were you married at the time?
Yes, I was married.
Okay. And did you have children?
I have one, a son.
Okay, so then in 1927 when you came up, then you
yes.
and your husband and son came up.
Well, no. My husband and I, we separated. And so then I came up to Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 19...
Well, why don't you just put your own name down?
1928, then I married Walter Johnson.
I see. I don't like to get too nosy, but...
No.
I'm trying, you know, for the purposes of straightening it out in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1928, in Fairbanks, you married Walter
yeah,
Johnson.
Yeah, Walter Johnson.
Well, Lena, tell me a little bit about that trip from Lila just mentioned a little bit about it. Tell me, describe your trip to Fairbanks, your first trip up this far north. Did you think you're going to the North Pole when you...
Yes, I thought I was going clear to the North Pole, and if I could have got out of here, I'd have left. But after I stayed here, you know, for a while, and then I made a trip to the States and I wanted to come back just as quick as I could.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She liked the froze out there.
Did you come up from Seward in the wintertime or summertime? Or
It was
in the summertime.
It was in the summertime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been a beautiful trip then.
It was beautiful. All the way the train went around that horseshoe bend, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful.
And then you didn't stop overnight, though, in Anchorage, did you?
No, we stopped at McKinley Park.
Park, that's where we stopped at and spent the night.
Mm-hmm. And the hotel that burned down last summer, you stayed in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that burnt down last summer.
And when you arrived in Fairbanks, did you have a place to stay, or did you
stayed in the Alaska Hotel.
The Alaska Hotel that was run by the Fosters.
Mrs. Foster had it then, and that's where we stayed at.
And where was that located?
And that was located right down now where on the other corner from where Jean's Auto used to be. There.
Oh, you mean down on Wickersham Street?
Yeah, right in there, right by what I see now. What is it? Jean's Auto was there, and then there it's on the other corner of First, and it was right on.
First in Wickersham.
Yeah, uh-huh, right in there. Mm-hmm. Burned down, and then all these others were built up again afterwards.
Well, that must have been very near the Pioneer Hotel. Then.
Yes, yeah, right close.
Right in that section.
Yeah, right there. You know,
I think the section.
Yeah, they were right in there, along there together.
Yeah, all
the northern, the northern was on one side, and the Pioneer and the Alaska Hotel, they were all along there. Mm-hmm. And I stayed to the, known as the Alaska Hotel. Yeah.
And run by the Fosters.
How long did you stay there? Just long enough until you found a home to live in?
Or? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Until we went up to Big Delta at that time. And it was known as Grundler.
Grundler?
Big Delta, and it was known as McCarty, and Grundler was the telegraph station, and we lived at the telegraph station there, and which was, they changed it changed the post office on account of it being McCarty, and McCarthy was at one place, and McCarty was there. And you see, they were too much alike, so the post office changed and called it Big Delta.
Oh, I see. So
that's where we went when we left, and then from there we went up to Goodpasture.
Okay, so the two of you, you went with Lila to the Goodpasture.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you take your daughter Frances with you?
Yes, indeed.
She was with you all this time. So up in the Goodpasture then, she was she must have been about 13 years old at the time.
Yeah.
So how did she go to school?
Well, we had the Calvert course then for both of them, and then Frances went out to school in Seattle, Washington there, and she went to school there. Then later, she went back for her training to Grand Rapids.
No, she went back to school.
Yeah, she went to school and up there in Michigan. And then later when she went in training, it was in Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. training for a nurse.
Well, let's go back to where you were born, Lena. You have I know you're from the South from the way you talk.
You
have a delightful Southern touch to your accent. You're born where and when?
Mount Dolliff, North Carolina.
Mount Dolliff?
M-T-O-L-I-V-E. M-T-O-L-I-V-E.
Mount Olive.
Yeah,
Mount
North Olive. Carolina.
And that's right near Raleigh, the capital.
Okay, are you going to tell me when you were born, or is that one of your
secrets? In 1998. 1898.
So you were born September 7th, 1898 in Mount Olive, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And did you live in the South or North Carolina until you went to Seward?
I lived in Jacksonville, Florida.
Most of the...
I worked in Jacksonville, Florida.
I see. Is that where your daughter was born?
In in Jacksonville, Florida.
And had you lived there, did you live there most of the time until you went
until
to
I come to till I come to Alaska, come to Seward.
So actually, when you in Mount Olive, North Carolina, you just lived there when during your childhood? Or?
Yeah, during my childhood. And my parents moved to Florida.
Oh, I see. So you went with the parents?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you were living in Jacksonville, what kind of work did you do?
I was a waitress.
And then Lila had come to Alaska before you, and that's what prompted you to come to Alaska.
Yeah, I just come up here for a visit.
Oh, I see.
And I stayed.
A visit in 1925?
Yeah.
Let's see, how many years ago is that?
That's been 47 years ago. We'll be 47 years. And
so you've been... It's a 47-year-long visit.
Yeah.
It seems to have agreed with you because I know you have a lot of friends up here.
I could go back there, but I don't want to go back.
Well, you were outside last winter.
Yeah. I was out for a month.
Oh, just a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a brother and a sister down there.
Still living in Jacksonville?
Yeah. My sister was up here. She made a visit up here.
Mm-hmm. I'm turning this back on. I wanted to... We were going to talk about going up to the Good Pasture. Now, it's not pronounced Good Pasture. It's Good Pastor.
Yeah, that's the main name of it. And it was named after Billy Goodpasture.
Billy Goodpasture. How do you spell that last name?
P-A-S-T-G-O-O-D-P-A-S-T-E-R. It's not like a pasture.
Yeah. So many people in this area pronounce it pasture, like a cow pasture.
And Billy Goodpasture was never on the Good Pasture. He was on the Waltmeyer, and when the surveys made the survey, they made a mistake and put his name on the Good Pasture when it should have been Waltmeyer, and the Waltmeyer should have been Good Pasture.
Those are rivers.
Yeah, those are rivers.
Well, where's the Waltmeyer River?
The Waltmeyer is up the Good Pasture, ways up further than the Good Pasture River, where it turns from the Tanana.
Is that... spelled
V-O-L-T-M-I-R-E,
or well, that's okay. I could look it up on a map.
It's
I got a map at home. I could look.
Well, maybe it's on this one. I don't know if it's here or not. Been so long.
But Billy Goodpasture, then, was he with the Signal? No, he was with the Early Survey.
He was early Survey.
Was it Army?
I believe either that or the Federal or something. But he was with the surveys, and then when they printed the map, they just had the names reversed, and they never were changed.
Well, okay. So he actually was on the Waltmeyer River, and not the Goodpasture River.
And Billy Mitchell, too, was of course connected with the survey a long time ago.
Well, it must have been the Army Signal
Corps. Yeah, and the Army Signal
Corps.
I don't know. That was before my time.
Yeah. Well, to get back to Lena and Lila now, you came to Fairbanks in 1927 and you remained here for a while. Was it a year or a month? Or
We didn't remain here long because we went on out to Big Delta, the Grundler. It was called different then.
Grundler. You went to Grundler, yeah, which was a signal corps station.
Signal corps station.
Uh-huh. And you went out there. Did you have a job out there to go to?
No, but my husband was the operator in charge out there.
Walter?
Ralph Mitchell. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no,
that time,
no.
I was still married to Ralph.
Ralph Mitchell. Time. Oh, yeah. I see.
When we were living at Delta.
Well, so that what I was trying to do is establish how you got there.
Yeah.
So Mitchell was.
Pastor. Well, then after I divorced Mitchell, then I married Walter Johnson.
Okay, it was Ralph Mitchell?
Yeah, Ralph Mitchell.
So that took you to Grundler Station at Delta.
Yeah, that we were at Grundler. And then when I later, you see, I was down in Seward for a while before I came back up, and then I married Walter Johnson.
Okay, and was Walter Johnson, was he connected with the Signal Corps too? Or?
No, he wasn't. No, he was mining and trapping. And a good pastor, him and his brother mined on the tenderfoot. His brother was Lawrence Johnson, but not the Lawrence Johnson of the Road Commission, not at all.
Yeah, I see.
It's a different one.
Yeah.
And they came in 1907. Walter come to the country. Of course, you can just cut out what you don't need, just what you need for Lena. But 1907, he came to the country in 1907.
So he was mining and trapping up in the
Good Pasture. Yes, up there. Mm-hmm.
So then when Lila was married to Walter Johnson, then you went with them?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was on the Good Pasture.
Yeah, we went up on the Good Pasture at that time.
And then I come back in Fairbanks and put my daughter in school here.
Come back and put her in school.
She went to school, not to this one, main school.
But that other.
The old school.
Main school.
The old main school.
Yeah, the one that burnt down. Mm-hmm. And I come in Fairbanks and work for the Lunds that used to carry mail out at Delta.
You work for them here in Fairbanks?
Yeah.
And did your daughter live with you there?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Did you live with the Lunds?
Yeah, we lived with the Lunds there. He carried mail out to Delta.
And how long did she go to school in Fairbanks? Just a year or 2 years?
About 2 years, wasn't it? About two, and then she went.
Yeah, and about 2 years, yes, 2 years. And then I sent her out to
Seattle?
Sent her out to Seattle to the Lowens.
Oh.
Elizabeth sent her out to a teacher, Elizabeth Lowen and Harriet Lowen.
They were school teachers.
Yeah, they were school teachers.
In Seattle?
Yeah. Sent her out to three sisters, and they were school teachers.
So your daughter Frances then went out and lived with them?
Yeah, just she lived with them. And then when school was out, when school was out, they went back to Michigan to their home, and they taken her with her. And there's where she went into college. And then from college, she went in training as a nurse.
Oh, she just remained living with the Lloyd
sisters. Yeah, I'd go out to see her, you know.
I see.
And I could keep her out there and give her more out there than I could give her to keep her here.
Well, we had the University of Alaska at the time, but no nurses training.
No nurses.
The university
It wasn't very.
Well, when she graduated from college, there weren't too many girls going to college in those days.
No, they wasn't.
She went to what they call the junior college. All the girls that went there, they called it junior college in Grand Rapids at that time. Where she went to junior college. Mm-hmm. And then she went right into training for a nurse right from the junior college. She went into training for a nurse.
And did the Loin sisters, they weren't married?
No, they were school teachers, old maid school.
Old maids.
Yeah.
All old maid school teachers.
All maids.
And they almost adopted your daughter then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In fact, they just about did, because they figured she was one of their family and never.
And one tried to outdo the other sister. One would go buy her something, and then the other one would go buy something a little bit better. There was three of them. There was Elizabeth, B was the oldest, Elizabeth, and Harriet. And they were old maid school teachers, and they were wonderful.
And how did you get to meet them? Did you know
they
them?
They had a brother up here.
Steve Lewing.
Steve Lewing that lived at Big Delta.
Oh, I see.
It was his.
So you made the contact for
him. They wrote me the most wonderful letters and told me what they'd do if I'd let her come out and stay with them and go to school.
Steve, is it Lowing?
Lowing, L-O-W-I-N-G.
Oh, L-O-W-I-N-G. And he was at Delta.
Yeah.
Yes, he lived at Delta. And later he went back there.
Then, while she was going to school then, you sent her out to Seattle, and then she went back to Grand Rapids with the Lowing sisters.
Yeah.
And then you returned to the good pastor.
Yeah, I returned to the good pastor.
And did you live there by yourself?
No,
I lived
with Lila. No, I wouldn't stay up there by myself.
He couldn't even get her to go up there now by herself.
Well, tell me about where you lived. What kind of a house did you live in?
It was a cabin.
Log cabin.
A log cabin, and it, which since has burnt down.
Two room. Good size,
two-room cabin. Yeah, two great big rooms.
Did you had a cabin by yourself, and then, or did she live?
She lived at my place.
With you and Walter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
And Bob, and we lived there.
Now,
and
Bob is your son.
We had another cabin, too, that my son lived in later. We had a bunch of cabins there.
So who got to cut the wood for the... You or Lena?
No.
Or did you get Walter to do that?
No, we did. Bob and my son and Walter.
But we had a beautiful garden up there. Two great big gardens had vegetables to last us all the winter.
Chicken.
Until they come in the spring when we...
Well, how did you keep vegetables
in the root
all
cellar.
In a root cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me what would you do to preserve them?
Well,
just throw them in there?
No, you put them in there, and there's where they were supposed to be. You know, you hung the cabbage up by the roots. Left the roots on. And we kept potatoes. We kept beets. We kept everything that you could keep that we did, and we done a lot of canning.
Well, to preserve them, would you just... The root cellar was down in cool ground.
The root cellar
underneath
was
the house.
Down below, and we had a little fire in the...
And every so often, we'd go build a puddle.
Every third day, at least,
put just so much wood in there to burn and see that burned, and then shut it up. And it'd stay a certain temperature all the time.
So the root cellar was separated from your house.
Oh,
it wasn't
underneath
your cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it was cribbed up in the bottom of the thing, and then we taken and covered that and cribbed it over, and we had dirt in there. And on the door where you went down, we had three sacks of moss. We got the moss from out in the tundra and laid it on top of this.
Top of the door?
Yeah, top of the door that you go down.
Oh,
and the cabbage were... We cut the roots and things off of the tops off of the rutabagas and turnips and things like that. But the cabbage we hung up by the roots, knocked the dirt off and just hung them up on, put two on a nail and a string around them and hung them up there and fixed them. And then we had the, what we call poultry beets. We raised them for the chickens too.
Poultry beets?
Yeah, poultry beets. And they were get large, and the chickens like them, and also like the, we gave them the some cabbage and things like that. We'd hang them up, but since they didn't have the exercise in the winter, we had a house built with two places, one for roosting and one for, and had a small one of those airtight heaters in there for heat and everything. And
so you kept chickens all winter?
All winter, yeah. We killed off all but 24 hens and kept two roosters for the fall. We killed them off, and we as soon as it was cold enough, we killed the others off, because then we could take and let them, put them in a pan, let them freeze, and put water over it and let it freeze, and then we'd pack them in snow. We had no refrigeration at that time, only the snow and things.
Didn't have any plastic bags?
No, no plastic bags either, but we put a coating of ice around the chickens and how many we thought would serve our family of four.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made it really five.
So you had fryers
rather.
And stewing hens?
Oh, yeah, we had
all winter long.
All winter long. And they were all ready. The only thing you had to do is to go out and get it and sit it and let it thaw out.
Mm-hmm.
and you could grow just about anything. We had peas and corn, and not once in a while we'd have some sweet corn, but not always. But we'd have beans, and the beans once in a while, if we had a frost maybe in June, if we didn't cover them, they would frost and wouldn't have them. As they frost quite a bit because we were right down in the valley.
Yes.
Up there, the mountains on each side. But otherwise, we grew just about everything. We would grow Brussels sprouts too.
Well, kohlrabi. You say you kept 20 chickens over the winter, two mm-hmm. roosters, and
yeah.
18.
Yeah, we had all the eggs. We
and you had all the fresh eggs you
all
needed
we could
all winter long.
And then in the spring, we kept the two roosters because in the spring, then I would set the little brown hen incubator with any hens that wanted to set. And we'd raise all of our fryers and keep them until fall. And then when the weather got cold enough, that's the way we...
You'd be in bad shape if the roosters died, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the, you know, that's the reason we would take and send
Same
in
too.
And give somebody a rooster, and then we'd get some. We'd swap back and forth. The Turnbulls had chickens at that time, and some other people here in town, and mm-hmm. so then we did.
Oh, I see.
And so we'd change the roosters back and forth, and that way you had new stock all the time coming in and everything.
Oh, I see.
So,
well, what other meat did you put up besides
chickens? Oh, we had, when the caribou run was, we killed a caribou and we corned a majority of it. And of course,
caribou.
Corned
That's,
it.
Yeah, you use a lot of salt.
Yeah, we put it down in the wooden kegs and the barrels that we used to get for our butter. We used to have the butter come in 50-pound tub. But it was really not 50 pounds of butter there. It was about 48 because they had the water and you know mm-hmm. everything and packed in that. And keep it down. It was salt water that they were in. And then later we got the Brookfield butter in the cans. You could get it. But mm-hmm. And it was good too. Because
did you make corned caribou meat?
Oh, yeah.
And did you can some too?
Oh, yeah. We canned
we
fish, too.
We canned it in jars and everything at that time because we didn't have a canner. But we had jars, and we canned with the mason and the curd jars
yeah.
and things. We canned then.
Well, you said, Lena, you said you canned fish, too. Where'd you get the
yeah.
fish? Out of the river?
Yeah.
Out of the river in the fall. Then we'd catch the grayling and things and take and can them. Our salmon was too far gone when they got up our way, too.
But that's what we fertilized the garden with.
But we go pick up the ones that, you know, because
the salmon, after they spawn,
and mm-hmm. then pick them up and put them on the garden.
Well, it made perfect fertilizer.
Yeah, it was real good fertilizer. We never used it.
By the time the salmon would go clear up the Good Pasture River, they were pretty well...
Well,
beat up.
Yeah,
they were beat up.
And they'd, you could get them down around Big Delta and they'd be all right, but after they go up the clear water streams and go up the ripples and things, they would be pretty well, but they did come up to spawn.
I've seen salmon near Valdez at some of those streams mm-hmm. right at the bottom of the mountain,
yeah.
you know, where uh-huh. they have gone back to spawn and then they just die there.
Well,
yeah.
you know, they don't eat from the time they leave the...
Salt water.
Salt
water. Oh, they don't?
They mm-hmm. When they come back home, they die there.
Mm-hmm.
They try to get back where they were was born at, I guess you'd call it born.
Well, they come every year. They have a cycle of them. Every 4 years, the salmon, no matter what kind they are, they come back and spawn where they were born. And also, if they're alive yet, I mean, you know, sometimes they have their nets too near the mouths of the fresh water that they go up, the streams that they go up, and then they catch them and they don't get a chance to come back
yeah.
and spawn. But now the fish travel, one kind of fish would travel on one side of the Tanana and one on the other side.
Is that right?
They never traveled on the they didn't travel on the same side of the river because at Big Delta you could take and get fish there too, but they were one kind was on the one side of the river and one on the other. And we got the kings and the cohos and all the other, and then what we call the dogfish. And every 4 years they would come back and they never spawned, I mean all of them. You know, there would be some that would be different that come up, they mm-hmm. wouldn't be the Some would be pink and some of that white salmon. Mm-hmm. They're all different.
Besides caribou, did you have anything else?
Oh, yes. We had moose? Once in a great while when they'd go over, sometimes they would go over where the sheep were up in the high mountains. And that would be, some of the fellows went back in Mount Playfair. Is it Mount Playfair? Well, anyway, it's a mountain over there in near the 40-mile country. And there's sheep in there. Mm-hmm. And but not as many as they are out from Rapids. Rapids has more. The boys used to hunt over in the Rapids for the market. And the majority of the people that come from Fairbanks to go hunting, they would go up into there. And John Hajdukovich used to have horses and things. He'd take hunting parties.
He'd take hunting parties.
Yeah.
Well, when you first went up...
when we lived at the...
when you first went up the Good Pasture, did you go on a boat with an outboard motor?
Yeah.
You didn't have to pull.
We had a
went an outboard motor.
We had a small motor that time. They didn't have the great big ones, so we had. I think it was about.
We done a lot of walking. I'll admit.
Oh, you did a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Well, if the river was down, why then when we freighted up, why we would have about 14 to 15 pounds, 100 pounds of freight on a riverboat, and we'd have to leave the motor in some places and pole because there wasn't enough water to use the motor, and we'd leave that about 10 miles. But we could, on the Tanana, we could, from Big Delta to the mouth of the Good Pasture, we could go, we could take and boat a whole more than that up.
Yeah.
But we'd have to boat it up there and then get there and take and load it on. Because we could haul more on the Tanana than we could on the Good Pasture, unless the water was up high. Otherwise, we'd put them off at crossings and let them walk. We'd let them, and then they walk along.
You see, he'd have to go all the way around the bend, and we could go right straight across here in just a few minutes, and you'd be on the other side.
And you have to go big circles and everything.
So the meandering rivers.
Yeah. To the cabin because the bridges went out and we haven't put the bridge back in. And when they had the high water up there before it washed our bridge across, we had logs across and went that way. But it was fine before that, of course, we were there. But we have a boat up there too, a small one.
Did you find on that map that you have in your hand, Lyle?
I didn't find the boat mark.
Well, listen, I just got a one of these big crawl maps.
Yeah, well, then you'd find that too.
That's interesting, though, that how some of these names in Alaska.
How they get
the names.
And we do have a creek up there.
My next question is going to be, on names. Lena's name ever get used on a creek?
Lena's, but her daughter's is on the creek.
Francis.
Up in Tibbs Creek.
Yeah.
And it's about the second creek up from where our cabin is in up there.
They call it Francis Creek?
Francis Creek, uh-huh. And it is on some of the government maps as Francis Creek. And we have one named Johnson Creek. It's up there, too. Mm-hmm. And they are on the government survey maps.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing now on their survey. I haven't seen one lately.
Well, Lena, tell me a little bit about, you lived up there with Walter and Lila.
Lila, yeah.
And Lila's son came out and went to school, so that...
No.
Was he there most of the time?
He was there most of the time. My daughter was the one that I sent to school.
So then there was you and
Lila
and
yeah,
Walter
just
and,
the four
and
of
Bob.
Us. Mm-hmm.
So describe a typical day there in the cabin. Good Pasture. Did you get up and make the sourdough pancakes?
Well,
you already told me you didn't chop the wood. So
no, I didn't chop the wood, but I did make pancakes and I baked on a Monday. Monday, we always baked. We baked donuts, we make cookies, cakes, pies, and in
made
the
own bread.
And we made
sourdough bread.
We had sourdough bread, which is wonderful.
I've never had sourdough. Well, not homemade sourdough bread.
No.
And in the mornings we'd have hot cakes, either ham, or we'd have steak, or we'd have we made sausage out of the moose meat. We made wonderful sausage out of it, and it was just grand. And then we'd can so we could have that in the summertime too. We done a lot of canning. You couldn't do what you didn't have time to do what you wanted to do.
Well, when the berries come in, while you went out and picked berries, canned berries, in the fall when the lobish cranberries were good, we taken and picked enough of them to give to our chickens in the wintertime.
And the rose hips too, rose hips, you know.
And during the war,
chickens
I made the...
cranberries in the winter?
Oh, the cranberries and them rose hips, you know, we gave them to them, and never had a sick chicken.
And we also used the rose hips for making ketchup too.
Yeah,
and
we made
jelly.
Ketchup up there. And we made everything that possibly there was in
we
the
grew-
book.
What other kind of berries did you pick besides low bush cranberries?
Low bush and high bush cranberries. We picked them and made the
what are those little
juices?
Yellow berries?
Oh, those are the salmon berries. But we made jelly out of those. But the high bush cranberries, we made juice for making drinks for the kids and things. Mm-hmm. And so we also we had rhubarb. We put that up and we brought our celery in and. That I grew up there and put them in boxes and leave some dirt in them and put them in the basement. And then we'd water them and we had celery up until after New Year's.
Oh, you'd continue growing it?
It continued growing it.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice and tender because it was kind of bleached when it was. We canned moose meat and everything could be had. You know, we fixed it up different and we also canned. The potatoes when they first came in, very seldom we could grow potatoes there because frost would come and kill them unless we went out and cover them when it was going to be real cold. So we grew them downriver about 30 miles at the forks of the good pasture, and then we'd stop there when we come downriver and hold them or whatever what they weeded them, and then go down. We'd pick them up in the fall when we were freighting. And they were ready to mature.
About 30 miles downriver?
Yeah, about 30 miles downriver.
The way the river runs.
The way the river runs. It's about 30 miles by the river. It twists and turns just back on itself. One place there, about 30 feet in the river, you've gone all afternoon getting your boat around to that place, and you'll be camping that night where you were right across from where the morning, you know, where you left in the morning.
But the potatoes you grew 30 miles downstream.
Down, we both.
Now that was at where the Good Pasture River.
That was the central Good Pasture. That was where the South and the North Fork
that's
came
the
together.
Forks, wasn't it?
The South and the North Forks of the river. That's right.
So you grew your potatoes there because it was warmer.
It was warmer.
You go, when you go down river, you'd tend them and pull the weeds
and
then fall.
Cultivate anything.
You'd pick them.
So then there was enough potatoes for everybody.
So you had your root cellar
full of stuff.
Everything.
You had that sounds like a good life to me.
It was a good life, and then I run the weather station there, and I had the three weather station, three schedules at that time, with the FAA, or it was called CAA then.
You had three a day?
Three a day. And then I had two schedules with Lou Joy here in town.
Now, when did you start the weather reporting?
I had the first one at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, what...
date.
What date?
Oh, I see.
She'll be back in, I'm sure. How many years did you live on the Good Pasture, Lena?
I lived on the Good Pasture 4 years.
And then... After the 4 years, did you move into Fairbanks?
I moved into Fairbanks.
With your with your daughter?
Yeah, with my daughter, and she went to school, and then I sent her out. They talked me in letting her go out, you know.
Okay, that was when you came in, when then you were working and living with the Lunds.
Yeah.
And then after your daughter went out to school, did you stay in Fairbanks?
No, I went back to the good pastor, and then later, I come in and then went to work for Margaret Ofsted. She was Margaret Berge then.
What, the Pioneer Hotel?
No, at the Northern.
Northern
the
Hotel.
Northern was hers.
Oh, that's right. That's
the
right.
Northern Hotel. And I worked at the Northern.
And what was her name at that time, Margaret?
Margaret Berge.
Berge. B-E-R or B-U-R?
I think it's B-U-R.
That's right. She told me she ran the Northern Hotel.
Yeah.
So you worked then at the Northern Hotel?
Till it burnt down.
Okay. And then what happened to you then?
Then I married Oscar Phipps. And that was 25 years ago I married Oscar. I married in 1952. Oscar and I were married. That'd be 25 years ago, wouldn't it?
1952?
Yeah.
That'd be 21 years ago.
21 years ago.
But you had known Oscar for some time, apparently.
I'd known Oscar for years.
And when you married Oscar, then you've just remained in Fairbanks.
I remained in Fairbanks. Lived at 214 3rd till the flood.
214 3rd. Mm-hmm. That's right behind Catherine LaCrosse.
Yeah.
And right across from Mary and Virginia. Now, when you married Oscar, was he working for Effie?
Yeah, Effie. He was the engineer. In the powerhouse.
At the powerhouse. That's the FE powerhouse back of present Golden Valley.
Golden Valley has it now, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Golden Valley eventually bought it from Fairbanks Exploration. Tell me about Oscar when he came up, or anything you can remember about when he came to Alaska.
He was on the coast. He was.
Cordova?
That he landed in Juneau and he logged there.
I see. Do you remember when he might have come to Alaska, what year?
He come to Alaska in 1910.
But he spent a lot of the time in southeastern
Alaska. Yeah, down at logging, and then he worked for the White Pass Railroad.
Oh.
Yeah, they were building it.
No, he was...
I thought they were building it when he worked there, because he didn't come over here and work.
No, the White Pass was built in 1898.
He worked on the White Pass. He was the fireman on there.
On the one of the engines?
Yeah, on the engine.
And how many years did he work there, do you recall?
I don't think I heard him say. Because anyway, he worked for the darn FEO here for oodles and oodles of years.
Then he come to the Alaska Railroad.
And was there working.
And then he quit that and went with the FE. Because at that time, and he Jack Link worked there too.
I know, I was talking with Jack Link yesterday, and he said that when he went there in 1928, he thought Oscar was
Oscar was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Power plant. And was he the chief engineer there for the
powerhouse? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jack said he knew Oscar well for years and years and
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they didn't make him any better. Like that time you come in down there to the college, I don't know what I'd have done if you hadn't come in there and then take me to your house.
You know, I was just telling Jack, we were talking about the flood yesterday, and I was telling him, you know, I had met you, but I really didn't know Oscar. I just mm-hmm. barely met him before. Mm-hmm. And he was lucky to even have a place to sit that day.
Yeah.
Remember, there were people all over.
Oh, they were all over that college.
At least Oscar had a place to sit, but we had lots of beds out at our house. That was great.
You did, and you gave us the choice room right next to the bath because Oscar was sick. I never will forget that.
Then Oscar remained with the power plant until they closed it down, or did
no, until he retired.
Oh, he retired.
He retired.
Was it 35 years he worked for them? Wasn't it 35? Yeah, 37. Which was it?
35, 37. Well, he retired. He worked, he 67, he quit. He was 65 years old, but he worked another year.
So he quit in 1967, or?
No, he was
67 years old when he quit. And you think it was Lena or Lila, you said you thought maybe it was 35 years?
I'm sure it was 35 or 37.
Years, I know it with the FE.
35.
Well, I'm sure it was 35.
Well, he helped build the plant.
Well, they built the plant in 1927.
Well, he did. He worked on that. He had all kind of pictures was taken of that plant until the flood.
Then the flood got all your.
The
pictures.
Flood. He had an album about that thick and about that long, all on the coast and everything. And I had them in this album. I'd fixed up a great big album.
And were they damaged to beyond repair? Yeah, that's too bad. Well,
they were stuck together. Sometimes you could take and run them under cold
well,
water.
Now you know when the northern bird, he had a lot of pictures. Then I taken all the pictures in, and I brought them here, and I dried them all out, and I saved them. But when the flood come,
didn't save them then.
He was sick, you know.
Yeah. Well, how much water did you have in your house there? Your
up above the Davenport.
It was up above the bed like that.
And it was up above the top
bed.
Of the Davenport in the living room.
And I had a couch like this that water turned it up.
Side
down. Turned it up. And the chairs was all turned up. Mm-hmm. It churned in there.
Yeah.
It sure did. Churned everywhere.
Well, did Oscar ever work at Fort Wainwright or Ladfield?
No, none of them places, no.
Just here in Fairbanks, his only... Mm-hmm. Well, he came up here working for the Alaska Railroad, and then he went to work for...
Yeah, then he quit that and went with the FE, because at that time, the FE was the only thing you made. If you worked for the FE, you had it made.
Yeah, that is, you'd work in summer and winter,
yeah.
Where if you just worked mining, you didn't have anything. I mean, you just were there.
Well, did the FE supply electricity to the town or just to their camps?
Just to their camps.
Well, in later years, they used to carry the whole town.
Well, that is.
And they had a commissary over there, too, at the time we got our groceries from the commissary.
But you say that Oscar worked on the construction of the power plant and then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when I talked to Jack Link yesterday, he came up and was there... office manager.
Yeah.
Did, you know, head of accounting.
Yeah.
And well, he might have more of the exact...
Yeah, he said...
He might have more of the exact year, I mean, than we would have from memory hearing him talk and
seeing the
picture.
Well, he said yesterday that in 1927, and they must have started in 1926.
Yeah,
early. They built the dredges in 27, and they started operating in 28.
Yeah.
So, as I recall, I'd have to check my...
Yeah, and opinion. Oscar was working there then, I'm quite sure of that.
But anyway, during the flood, Oscar was sick, and then he later died.
Yeah.
I taken him, you know,
yeah, I knew
when I left your house, I taken him to Portland. And then we spent the winter out there and stayed with the Ofsteds, Margaret and Ted Ofsteds.
That was the winter of 67 and 68.
Yeah. And then we come back here, and Oscar lived 2 months, and we lived over in Lila's apartment over there.
Right over there.
You came back in the spring?
Yeah.
He just thought if he could get back up here that he would be all right once he got back to Alaska.
He wanted to come back home.
So he told me to...
Well, his friends and family were here. And
yeah, he has a son. He has a son here, and he's got a grandson here and a granddaughter Oscar has.
Mm-hmm. What's his son's name?
Jack Phipps.
Oh, I know that name.
And he's got a place out at Butcher's on from Paxton's about 20 miles on the what do you call that road?
Denali Highway.
Denali Highway.
Does he live out there year round?
No, he stays out there just the summer. Him and his wife, and he come in. They've got a home off on the college, off of the college.
They're not too far from from Scott's, is it? Joe Scott.
Yeah.
Not too far from
is
there.
Is he a big game guide or something in the summer?
Well, no, they just run that, Ron Butcher's place there.
Oh,
they bought
the
that.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, Roadhouse.
They go out and run that in the summertime.
I see. Well, let's see. In 1952, you married Oscar, and you've lived in Fairbanks all that time.
Yes.
Were you and Oscar active in any groups or organizations?
Pioneers.
The Pioneers.
Pioneers is the only
thing. And Oscar in wildlife.
In mining, he was interested in that part of it, too.
Well, did he belong to the Tenino Valley Sportsmen's?
But I don't remember where he did.
He belonged to the, I know Sam White was in that, and Irvin Reed, all of that. And
well, they started the Tenino Valley Sports.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
And Oscar was in that, too.
He must have helped organize it.
They were there because I used to go at the meetings with, and I never will forget time that Mrs. Reed, Mrs. Irvin Reed, she, man was talking there, and she says, he was up talking. She says, "Young man, how long have you been in Alaska?" And he told her, and she says, "Well, sit down. You don't know a thing."
Well, that's the problem with some of our organizations. The newcomers come up and try to
Mrs. Irvin, she knew. She knew about it, you know.
Oh, yeah, she loves
and she was interested
yeah, and,
in,
that,
in
Sam,
and
it was Sam White and Oscar and
Irvin Reed
and, what's that man out at Paxton? What's his name?
Huffman.
Doc Huffman?
Yeah, Doc Huffman. And he was in here to the...
he was a dentist here.
Yeah, for years. And,
well, it's his son, Bob.
Bob was there, too.
Mm-hmm. Bob Huffman was in the original organizing group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll talk to Bob about that.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you add a little piece here and a little piece there, and then you get a... And then you could pick it out and put work... in the way it goes, and that'll make an interesting record.
Well, before Irvin Reed died, he and Eleanor lived out on Farmers Loop
near us.
You know, so we got to know them pretty well.
Yeah.
They were so discouraged at that time because the Tenino Valley Sportsmen had turned into a different type.
And they resigned.
Yeah,
and
they
And Sam
they
White.
They were kind of disappointed in the whole thing. And,
it took a different turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And it took a turn for the worst, because I don't care what they do say. They can say there was too many cows, there was not, and the food's getting short. It's not at all. Caribou travel and go from here to there, and one bull can take care of dozens of cows. if they stop and think about, if they have a... They're breeding stock. All right, they're breeding cows here. All right, a man's got a bull over there. He brings it over and then breeds them cows. Mm-hmm. And he don't just breed three or one. They breed more. Yeah. So it's the same way with
wild game.
And they don't just pick one. One bull might make the younger bulls keep away. He might do that. I've seen that. I've seen three and four bulls, young bulls, standing off, and then they... The other one runs them off, and they don't dare come close to the cows when they're... And if there's two cows, that bull fights, and he takes care of them.
Up in the good pasture, did you ever have any caribou migrations go by?
Oh, yes. Area? Oh, yeah, we used to have lots, but we haven't had any up there now. It must be at least 10 years.
Well, did they go by and...
Oh, they come in just in streams. And there was trails. You could go everywhere in the good pasture and all around. And you could go any on game trails. And it looked just like we have a mountain up there that's 1,500 feet high. And that mountain up in the Tibbskit country, I've seen it look like a living, moving hill with the caribou on it. And when they say caribou cannot crawl over this 40-foot or 48-inch pipe, it makes me so disgusted with them.
Well, I've heard where hundreds of caribou will swim the Yukon River up there in a circle where it's where it's 2 miles wide.
Yeah, and swim, and then they'll climb up a mountain and everything, and they'll climb over. And when you stand on one mountain and see the other one, just look like it's a living, moving mountain with caribou. And that's when we had caribou. And then these crazy yahoos from the lower country comes in here and tell us
they can't get over a 48-inch pipe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to take the conservation and all of those Sierra clubs, I'd like to take them, put them out up at North Slope, and give them a pack on their back and something for mosquitoes, and tell them their food is on the other end. When they arrive here, we'd like to see them all this they're talking, that environment that we have ruined, and we haven't ruined the environment.
Well, you're kind by giving them some mosquito repellent.
Well, I'd give them that, but I would like to see them. And here they come up and fly up in planes and fly over. They never get down and walk on the tundra and see. Yeah. And you've been up on the North Slope, so you know good and well what's up there. And know the country all in between.
Well, Oscar and I used to go up on the summit every summer.
Up here, on the summit.
We'd go up there by
spring. You up and
we'd go up there and when
take pictures.
Did the caribou run? Ruth Scheiber used to go with us when she was here, and we'd go up there and we'd put us up a tent, and we'd fix us a lunch, and then we'd walk the hills till we found the caribou, and then we knew they were coming, you know, and then we'd go back to our camp and then wait.
And just wait for them to come by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they come by, and I've sent a sit up in the car. We used to sleep in the car. And wanted to sleep, we'd fix it flat, you know, in the front seat. We had a station wagon, and we'd sleep in the back, and Ruth would sleep in the front, and we'd been surrounded by caribou. Early in the morning, we'd sit up and look at them, and we'd take pictures. That's what I say, we had a lot of pictures, you know.
Did you used to shoot, you'd take some too for meat, wouldn't you?
No, they just went to take pictures.
We didn't take any, mm-hmm. And the wildlife didn't count half of them. Mm-hmm. They'd be asleep, and we'd be up. And we'd see them cross, and they'd go right straight up a hill.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah, hundreds of them. Little ones? The little calves and everything.
They used, I bet Ruth has some beautiful.
Ruth Scheiber.
She used to use a telephoto lens.
She's got beautiful ones.
Then she took a lot of pictures of birds, flowers, and different things. She was interested.
I remember.
That.
And then when we were in Portland, she come every day to see Oscar, and she'd bring him a picture every day. One that, and to remind him of the time when we were up there, you know.
Are they coming up this summer?
Well, he is, but I don't think she is, because they can't go away and leave the house.
Oh, I see. And then Margaret Ofsted, too. Was it you telling me
yeah.
that Margaret is not well?
Yeah. No, she's not hurt. She had an operation, and then they bandaged both eyes, and it seemed to kind of make her depressed more than she had been, and so she was sleeping quite a bit. Now, where they got her, give her something to sleep the rest of her eyes so she wouldn't worry about them so much, and maybe that was it.
Maybe so.
But her grandson told me, I was talking to him, and he said that if she gets better, they're going to try to get them up here for Golden Days.
Oh, yeah. That would mean so much to her.
It would, uh-huh.
Yeah. She really enjoys coming up here.
Oh, yeah. And they had her come up, her and Ted come up for over the Christmas, Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays.
Oh, I know, because I took her to Pioneer Meeting.
Yeah, because we went up to the Petroleum Club, too.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you took us
up. Remember that day? And it was so ice fog, we couldn't see it. And I wanted to impress you with the view from up there. Yeah. I would go back one of these
Well, it was really nice up there, too.
Yeah, it was.
Beautiful view.
I did too.
But the ice fog was so thick, I couldn't see a thing. Well, I decided that since you're the queen this year, I'll have to take you back up there.
Oh, why,
sir? Nice clear day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I left in a few days after.
Right after.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I wanted to go then.
And we do have a beautiful
robe. Yeah,
the one that they made for the stocks, the pioneers, I think. The older pioneers, women of the early one made it. And you did see that, didn't you?
I mean, saw it last year.
Yeah. So anyway, we have it over in the cedar closet because our closet isn't long enough. I mean, it's got a shelf built down. So, but it's really beautiful.
Well, to get back to Oscar and wildlife, you'd go out there just to watch the caravan.
Yeah, just to watch them. Take pictures.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you do any fishing along the way, or stop and see any of the old time miners you knew?
What's his name? He's dead now.
Well, there's so many of them that's passed away.
Yeah. What was he was mining out there?
Out at Central or?
Yeah, what was his name? I can't think of his name. That he was a friend of Catherine the Cross's. And we were, Catherine and I were going to the funeral, and the rear end went out of the car on the way, and we couldn't make it.
I can't remember now.
He was Johnny Frasco. Mm-hmm. We went to see him and at his mine, and then we went to the
Miller House.
The Miller House to see them, and then we went on the circle. Oh, we just went just along.
You and Oscar travel outside very many times?
Yes, together? We went back. I went back with him several times to visit his people in Ohio. Mm-hmm. He still has a sister living.
I see. But he came
he come
in
to
1910.
1910.
Yeah. And when he died, how old was he?
He was...
Or do you recall his birthday?
His birthday is February the 17th, and if he was a living now, he's been dead 5 years, and he would be,
how old would he be?
Would that make him, that make him 80, wouldn't it? He was he's 5 years older than I am.
So,
I'll be 75 next month.
In September, September
7th.
Yeah, hers is on the 10th.
Oh, for gosh sake. Now, isn't that thing,
You know who else has a birthday on the 10th? Is my son.
George?
Oh, he does. These three should have a birthday on the 10th.
And do you know, what's her name? She's a real, real heavy-set black gal here in town. What's her name? Her birthday's the same day.
Oh?
What's her name?
It isn't Maddie.
No. She takes care of foster children. I'll think of her name a little bit. Anyway, she and I, she's just as black as they come, and I'm just as Irish as they come. But we're twins. Same birthday.
Well, isn't that nice? Nice
yeah.
There's some of them that's really
Bernice
nice.
Aldridge.
Yeah.
Bernice Aldridge. You probably know her.
Oh, uh-huh.
She's about that big around.
About that big around.
But she's a real nice woman. And I was really surprised when I found out we were twins. I'll tell you a really unusual thing. Tom Pastban, do you know the Pastban? Tom Pastban has Tommy's elbow room. He's lived here.
I know.
And his wife is a sister to Rose Ringsted and Kate Ringsted.
Oh, uh-huh.
And her birthday is this. She and I were born the exact same day, same year.
Oh.
September 10th, 1925.
Oh, isn't that something, huh?
So we really are twins.
Yeah, you really are.
So, anyway, I'll try to remember that so we can get together. If you're not traipsing across the country.
Oh, well, I won't be. I don't think.
She don't think she's going traipsing across the country.
Well, get back to the good pastor for a little bit, do you ever recall any real harrowing experiences or any trouble getting up river to... Do you have any accidents? Boat tip over or...
Well...
You ever break an arm, Lena?
Lena, tell about the...
I fell in the river, if that means anything.
Well, it means about, together,
about
huh?
10 miles from Central, wasn't it, that you fell in that time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 10 miles down from...
And my brother-in-law pulled me out.
And he built a fire.
Yes.
The good pastor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was on the good pastor.
It built a fire.
It she built was a fire, I changed my clothes right there. He built a fire, and I changed my clothes and got
so
into...
So we call that her swimming hole?
Yeah.
Everybody's got a swimming hole. I have one, too. And I just rolled my hands up in the air when I went over the... I was watching the hills. We were looking for game, seeing honey, as we were freighting. So, well, of course, I wasn't watching the way the boat was swinging, the way the riffle come. So here I turned around.
And you went right in.
And he swings the boat, and I follow the boat, you know, and still not watching the water come up. When he got up to here, I just throwed my hands up in there, turned the boat.